On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham on a Thursday morning. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Discussing a number of topics so far tonight, including Howie Roseman and some of the things he had to say from the other day. And, you know, Howie, I didn't like a lot of the things that he said on Monday. Not going to lie, it was a lot of excuses about the pandemic and justifications for why the Eagles built the way they did and why they came back with another old roster and did some of the same things they've been doing. But do you buy what Howie's selling? Do you think he's learned from his mistakes? The one thing I'll say in Howie's favor is he has shown the ability to navigate out of a really bad situation before. He's done it. The only difference is this time he caused the situation. Last time it was Chip's mess and Howie came in and cleaned it up. Now, can he clean up his own mess? Because this team, they are not in a good salary cap situation. They have not drafted well. They have an older roster that is devoid of a lot of young talent. Like, over the next few weeks, I'm sure we'll look at every position on the roster. And, you know, it's dire in certain areas. The one area where, that may have been the biggest problem this year was offensive line. I actually think that's a spot where they're probably pretty good at, if Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson can come back, 85% of their former selves, you're going to be in a good spot there. But clearly, a lot to do this offseason. Do you believe Howie is the guy to do it? And, if he can remain with the organization at all, if he's not the guy to do it, do you think that with people supplemented and surrounding him, that this organization could get back on track, or does Howie have to go entirely? 215-592-9494 is how you get in on that. I still got a lot of stuff that we got to dive into tonight. But right now, I did want to turn it to the Sixers as a very entertaining game. On Wednesday night, they defeat the Wizards 141-136 at the Wells Fargo Center. Sixers set a franchise record for, I don't know if it was points in a single quarter or points in a second quarter. But the Sixers score 49 in the second quarter, 82 in the first half, and they edged the Wizards by five. Now, the Sixers were up 20 plus in this game. Washington fought back. Bradley Beal went for 60. I mean, it was a ridiculous effort from Bradley Beal as he just went nuts. But in the end, down the stretch, he was not the best player on the floor. And this has been the story of the Philadelphia 76ers so far this year. They're 7-1, but they are 7-0 in games in which Joel Embiid plays. And Joel Embiid has been nothing short of spectacular this year. For years, every offseason, we hear Joel. And we hear him talk about the importance of getting in great physical condition, in peak physical health, where he can come in, have the endurance to be an MVP caliber player. And every year we have been ultimately disappointed by the way that he has looked. At times it looks like he's carrying around too much weight. It looks like he's not in great condition. He looks gassed at the end of games. This is a game on Wednesday night in which Joel Embiid played 37 minutes. And he was visibly tired at the end of a game, but that's going to happen. But he was not worn down. And in the final 5 minutes, he decided, I don't care what Bradley Beal's doing. I don't care what kind of night he's having. I am the best player on the floor. And I am going to take over this game. And it's exactly what he did on both ends of the floor. Started dominating offensively, had a huge block on Beal defensively, had several huge blocks. And that one block was pretty funny. He chased down his old buddy, Howell Neto, sent Neto like crashing to the floor. And then you could see Embiid gets up and he couldn't wait to just run over to Neto and mock him for what had just happened. But Embiid, 38 points in this game, 8 rebounds, and, I mean, he was dominant. And he has been tremendous for this team this year. You look elsewhere, Seth Curry, 28 points. Seth Curry, I thought would be a good fit with this team. Seth Curry's better than a good fit. Seth Curry's a really good player. Like, he's more than just a guy who makes some threes. He can dribble. He can. It's amazing the Sixers have guys that can dribble now. It's kind of disorienting to watch, because you remember last year the guy that Seth Curry got traded for, whenever they would put the ball in Josh Richardson's hands, they'd have like a 5 to 10 minute stretch every night where they'd try Josh Richardson out running the point, and it would result in like 5 turnovers in 5 minutes, and it was just disastrous and terrible. And I thought when that trade was made that, you know, the Sixers were trading for a better fit. Like, they were trading a better player for a better fit. I thought Josh Richardson is clearly a better player than Seth Curry is, but Seth Curry fits better here. I'm not sure that's true. Like, I watched enough of Josh Richardson last year to know he's pretty average. And Seth Curry, a guy on a good contract, he's making $8 million, which in the NBA is not a bad deal at all. And I mean, he's a very good player, and he's been a very productive player. And you couple that with Tobias Harris and what he's done, and Ben Simmons had another phenomenal game on Wednesday night. 17 points, 12 assists, and 6 rebounds. And, you know, it was a very encouraging win, because we've seen the Sixers lose this game so many times, where they'd be up big, they'd end up losing to an inferior team, and it was like, what happened? And it kind of reminded me a bit of the first game in the bubble last year against Indiana, where TJ Warren went crazy for 50-something, and the Sixers lost that game. It kind of seemed to me similar to that game, except this is a game that Embiid took over in the end, and the Sixers won. So right now, before we continue discussing, I want to let you hear some comments from after the game. Here was Doc Rivers after the game talking about the Sixers surrendering that big lead.
I thought we were playing a terrific game. I thought defensively, you know, they're second in the league offensively. I thought we were doing terrific. And then the second unit today, that they've been great for us today, they were not. And I thought it was more our mindset. I thought we came in with an offensive mindset in that middle of the third, and I thought it changed the game. We were fortunate to win the game. But again, we're not going to win them all pretty. We'll take a win.
And you can't also understate the effect that Doc Rivers has had. Like, you can tell that this is a much better prepared team. This is a much better coach team. And Big Daddy finally got his wish. And I think Big Daddy's being proven right that Brett Brown was not a very good NBA coach. I mean, Mike, do you really have any defenses for your boy Brett at this point? I mean, Doc's just, isn't it nice to have a competent coach on the sidelines?
Brett was a competent coach. It's Doc's an improvement. He's a better coach.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to come after you there. I just know you're a big Brett guy. Where's Brett at, by the way, now? He moved back to Australia?
I mean, his son still goes to Lower Merion, right?
Oh, he does? All right. I didn't know. I was just asking.
I don't know. I don't know. Is there high school basketball? I guess if there was, we could look up.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, you're right. This year there might not be, which is sad. But Doc has obviously had an impact and done a nice job so far. But as I mentioned, Bradley Beal went insane in this game. 60 points, just he was unstoppable for a large portion until the fourth quarter when the Sixers finally figured some things out. But one of the odd moves that Doc made in this game was he didn't put Ben Simmons on Bradley Beal, which you question his coaching strategy there, but here was Doc on why he did not put Ben on Bradley Beal.
After 60, we probably could have made the change. You know, we like what Ben was doing as a roamer tonight off of Westbrook, being able to run. We thought it would allow him to get a lot of rebounds and push the break. We felt strongly that we can get a lot of easy baskets, so that part of it worked. The other part didn't.
And, you know, that's a pretty good assessment. It really didn't work. I mean, Matisse Thybulle came in on him in the end. I don't know about Matisse. I may have been wrong about Matisse being a potential all-star is what I had said prior to the season. Not this year, but down the line. But still, I don't even know if that's going to happen. But I mentioned, you know, Seth Curry has been phenomenal this season. Here's Doc on Seth and how effective he's been in the pick and roll.
Sepp's a terrific pick and roll player. Puts the ball on the floor and makes great decisions. You know, he knows he has a cannon, so he knows people are running out at him out of control. And he can always pump fake and put it on the floor. One of our better plays is a pick and roll play with Joel and Sepp. So, you know, we trust him a lot with the ball.
And you see the effect of that, whether it's Seth Curry, whether it's Danny Green, whether it's Shake Milton, just the difference of having guys who can shoot, because it does force defenders to close out more forcefully. It does force them to jump out on shooters, which is just an aspect of the Sixers offense they didn't have last year when you're surrounding them with Horford and Richardson and some of these other guys that are out there. But in the end, it did all come down to Joel Embiid. And here was Doc on Joel and his performance down the stretch.
We have a go-to guy down the stretch. And what I like about what Joel was doing, obviously tonight it was scoring, right? But a lot of times it's with his pass. Watching him pick teams apart offensively with his passing and his scoring has been fantastic for us.
And, you know, he has become a better passer. And going into the offseason, it's the one thing I said that I thought Joel Embiid needed to get better at is passing out of double teams, not turning the ball over. He did have a turnover down the stretch, but it's done a better job. Here is Joel on, you know, handling the turnover situation.
Not too many turnovers tonight. I got to do a better job, especially with that last one, with the pass I tried to make to Tobias. End of game, fourth quarter, I got to do a better job. I had way too many turnovers tonight.
And, you know, I'm glad he's being self-critical of five turnovers, but in general, Joel Embiid has done a better job. He'll need to improve, obviously, but in general so far this year, he has done a better job. Here is Joel Embiid talking about how he this year is feeding off of his teammates more.
And the spacing definitely helped me, you know, especially with the way every team has been guarding me all season. You know, constant double, triple teams. That make the game easier for me, especially when they're knocking down shots.
And it really does. You know, and that's, again, it's the difference of roster construction where he gets double and triple team. Not much is changing in the way he's being defended, but he's just getting it to guys who can make shots. And ultimately, if they're going to have to respect that, that's going to make his life a lot easier as we go forward here. Here's one more from Joel Embiid on the mindset, even though Bradley Beal was having such a big game.
Especially with the performance Brad had, we had to fight through it. That made a run. And in the fourth quarter, we did a better job of containing him.
Now, you look at where the Sixers are, and 7-1, it's still very early. But, you know, I want to know, and I'm curious where people are on this. Is this team good enough to compete for a title as currently constituted? Because you look at the East is, as far as I see it, pretty wide open. Like, I don't see a dominant team. If you want to look at Milwaukee, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I still don't know about their depth once you get to the playoffs. I still don't know about Giannis being your primary scorer. You know, Giannis is very similar to Ben Simmons, and we've seen what happens to Ben in the playoffs. And the difference between Giannis and Ben right now is Giannis is Milwaukee's primary scorer. Giannis is Milwaukee's primary offensive player, while the Sixers don't necessarily need that out of Ben Simmons. They have Joel Embiid. They have a different go-to guy to make Ben Simmons' job a lot easier here. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. But, you know, when you look at this conference, it is wide open. And I don't think there is a dominant team out there right now. Boston has struggled a little bit. Miami has struggled. Brooklyn obviously has things that they need to work out despite having two players at the top like Kyrie and Kevin Durant. But it kind of leads you to revisit the James Harden thing. And whether or not this is something that needs to be done. And, you know, my preference from the beginning in regards to James Harden has been no. Like, I would prefer not to do it if you don't have to do it. Now, if it gets to a point where you don't think this team can compete for a title this year, then yeah, you got to pull the trigger. Because it's all about now. It's not about building for the future. It's not about preserving your core for future years. It is about doing everything you can possibly do to win the NBA championship right now, because this is Joel Embiid's window. Joel Embiid's window is the next 3 years. It's the length of his contract in Philadelphia, and with his injury history, with the way his body is, you don't know how long he is going to be able to be around. So this is the championship window for this team in the next 3 years. And I want to throw out there, where are you on the Harden thing right now? Because this is something we'll periodically check back in on. And after a game like this, and after a stretch like this, where the Sixers look so impressive, you know, I'm sure this is something that Daryl Morey is weighing daily as well, as whether this is something that needs to be done. Because it is a drastic step. It would change the face of this team in a major way. I'm excited to watch tonight. Tonight is a big test. You're coming on the second end of a back-to-back, the back end of a back-to-back. You go to Brooklyn to play Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, big national TV game, a lot of eyes on it. I'm going to be interested to see how the Sixers respond tonight. And, you know, this whole thing is why I said to wait and see, is with James Harden, the Sixers have all the leverage. All the leverage. They are in a situation where, in my mind, Houston doesn't really have any other good options. They don't. They don't have any other option that is going to get them an asset in return that the Sixers can offer. The Sixers have the trump card. No pun intended there. They have the card that can knock out all the rest. And that is Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is the best player. He's the best asset that Houston can get back in any James Harden deal. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Open lines right now. You'll be next up. But should the Sixers do this deal? Should they eventually do it? Or can you make moves around Embiid and Simmons? Because it's not necessarily, as I see it, one or the other. Because you can make moves around Embiid and Simmons, which I'm sure Daryl Morey will do. Like, this is not going to just be the team. Daryl Morey is going to do things to improve this team. He is going to do things to make this team better as this season goes on. Would you trade Ben Simmons for James Harden? Or at this point, do you think you can kind of make moves around the periphery? I mean, I just asked Mike before the show. I don't think this is possible, but I'm like, you think we can, you know, just flip Tobias and like three first round picks to Washington and get Brad Beal? And then you put Beal with Simmons and Embiid? You're laughing me off, Mike. Do you think there's any way that could happen? You could throw Matisse in there? Matisse, Harris, three firsts?
Matisse, Westbrook, and Harris. Here they come, the Wizards.
I mean, you know, some assets. Beal's going to walk in a couple years anyway, right?
Like three.
Right? Yeah.
Three years?
You don't think there's any chance they take us up on that?
No, it sounds like the typical junk trade.
You have 4 years, Tobias Harris. I mean, he's playing well. He's averaging, 22 a night? That's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, the more the time passes on, the closer it gets to 3.5 years. So.
Yeah. I mean, I do think Tobias will get easier to move as his contract, you know, gets deeper into it, because expiring contracts are valuable, but with 4 years left. But I want to know where you're at with the Harden thing right now. Would you do the Simmons for Harden thing right now, or do you want to wait it out a little more? I want to wait it out a little more. I've been going back and forth on this, but at this point, I think waiting it out a little bit longer, seeing what you have here, and whether you could make moves around the periphery around Simmons and Embiid, whether that's enough. Because, you know, I don't want to give a guy like Ben Simmons up if I don't have to, if you can compete for a title. And I think this team, they're there's still a long way to go, and obviously they have played subpar competition. But I feel much more confident than I did before that this team could compete for a title because of the way Joel Embiid is playing. He is playing at an MVP caliber level right now. And if this is who he's going to be, this team has a chance to beat anybody in a seven-game series. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. If you want to get on that, you want to get on any of the Eagles stuff, you're welcome to. I see Booker's there. We'll talk to Booker. And also, when we get back, I need to get to this Jerry Jones sound. Oh, and I forgot to throw out my side topic. I'll do that in the next segment, too. But Jerry Jones bragged about something this week that I don't know how you could be any more tone deaf than he was in what he bragged about. We'll get to that coming up next. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WYP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham. You can find me on Twitter.com at TommyKelly44. Is that what you're talking about, Mike? You don't like the Twitter.com kind of thing there?
That was right.
What's that?
You got it right.
Oh, I thought you said I was right. I'm like, you were right about what? What were you right about?
No, you did it right.
Okay, thank you.
This is a talk show. This is in the Twitter show.
Appreciate it. Thank you for playing job. Man, I'm only a couple days away from having a fresh, crisp $5 bill in my pocket, courtesy of Paul Jolovitz. Very excited to collect my winnings on my Anthony Lynn bet.
You should put that on like some crazy future, some playoff future.
Yeah, maybe. I love the NBA same game parlays. I have a system. I've been winning on these, you know, some modest wagers, but, you know, I pick a couple different things. I do my research, and I've been, things have been going well for me. That's been my choice of wagering lately. That's fun, those parlays. And it gives you a reason to watch these games, gives you something to look for. Do you have something to add there?
I mean, yeah, I guess they don't really measure up to A's Mariners in terms of excitement, right?
No, but I was, you know, I was watching a little Blazers Bulls on Tuesday night. Good game.
Oh, yeah. Who looked like they played well?
Zach LaVine.
LaVine hit a great shot.
He had a big three at the end to ice that one out.
Yeah, I had it on here.
I'll tell you who is looking pretty bad, though, right now in Portland. Your boy Rocco. He was firing brick after brick out there. I don't think he's...
Yeah.
I was doing my research. I don't think he's broken double digits in one game yet.
I mean, he held Steph Curry to 62.
Yeah, he's such a bum, man. And
stop. He's not a bum.
Well, Mikal Bridges is better than he is, like undoubtedly.
Why are you comparing him to Mikal Bridges?
Because they're similar style
Mikal
players.
Bridges was a lottery pick.
Yeah.
He'd be better.
Well, I mean, that's what I heard. Rocco was like this diamond in the rough for years. For years. Covington is, oh, how could we trade Rocco?
Yeah, again, that's different than being a lottery pick.
Yeah, whatever. just stop defending him, Mike. I know you love Rocco.
They don't overlap at all, Bridges
but
Covington.
Rocco was traded for, what, 3 first-round picks last offseason? He's supposed to be a very good player.
Two, but it's nice that you added value to him.
Yeah, well, I mean, shouldn't he be, isn't that like the value of a lottery pick, essentially, 2 first-rounders?
Is that what the board says?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to look it up, the chart. Howie could probably educate me on the chart. I'm sure Howie will give us a lot of chart talk when he makes a bad when he makes a trade people don't like. He trades down from 6, and the Eagles miss out on Devontae Smith and Jamar Chase and Patrick Surtain. He trades from 6 to 10, and he's talking about, well, the chart says that that's the equivalent to this amount of picks, and I'm sure everybody will respond to that very well.
Gives him more picks to draft more quarterbacks.
Yeah. We'll get to Booker in a second here. Mike and I, for the rest of the show, will preview each one of the playoff games. Instead of just doing a recap at the end, we'll do a little bit each segment. We'll do that after we talk to Booker. But I did want to throw a side topic out there real quick. What is the worst uniform you've ever seen? Because, Mike, have you seen these Miami Heat jerseys?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're terrible.
It's just that combined with the court. The court is like in the same kind of, it's like a weird tie-dye,
Yeah, the paint is like,
it's terrible.
Like the paint inside the lane is tied up. Yeah.
It's very disorienting. I was just watching the highlights, and I don't think I could watch a full game like that.
You didn't watch it live because you didn't bet on it.
No, I didn't watch it live because I'm watching the Sixers. Sixers were on at the same time. I'm not that kind. I'm not like...
Some of us have
remotes. I need to have...
You flip the TV.
Well, yeah, Mike, there was kind of some, you know, big-time stuff going on in the country today that I was also keeping track of during the Sixers timeouts.
I didn't watch the Heat game either. I just wanted to give you a hard time.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, so if you want to throw out your worst jerseys ever, because these are the worst uniforms I've ever seen in my life, like, by far. So we'll throw that in the mix as well. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Booker. What's up, Booker?
Hey, man. How you doing, Brother Kelly?
See, I'm all right.
And listen, I want to say one thing, and give me a couple minutes. This is my ode to tonight. I love the fact. Are you in control of the music or is it Mike? Because I love Insane Clown Posse, Insane in the Membrane.
Is that is me, Booker. I am in charge.
That was you, dog.
I'm in charge of the music here.
I said you, dog. I hope everybody hears me. I said you, dog. Go, my man. Thank you. And because tonight has been Insane in the Membrane.
I'm a big music guy. Everybody at WIP knows that.
Well, we can talk about that a little bit later. And I want to say one other thing, and then I'm going to get to my Sixers point. Did I hear Mike saying that was a pain in the lane? He was talking about the uniforms for the Miami Heat. He said a pain in the lane. Mike.
Well, the paint in the lane.
Oh, paint.
Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
Now, let me get to something. A couple other things. You didn't like Steph.
Yeah,
no, Steph. You didn't like Steph early. You thought he was. You thought he was messed up. You thought he was. You was a bum.
Don't put words in my mouth here, Booker. I never said that. I never said that at all. I said I thought he was a 3-point specialist, but I'm realizing that he can do more than that. He can create his own shot. He can create off the dribble. He's a good passer, and he does a lot of things well offensively.
Yes. Now here's the deal. I think that one. Are we still connected?
Yes. You're there.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Here's the deal. I think that this is early, and Embiid has taken to task getting himself together. But this is early. I think the Sixers are waiting. We still can use. Now you see how it will work. We still can use Harden. We still can use him for an inside-outside game. Yes,
anybody can use Harden, yes.
Well, I'm talking about us. I'm like the Eagles and the New York. I'm not worried about everybody. I'm talking about
a basketball team. Any basketball team can use Harden. Yeah.
He can be utilized here. And listen, you mentioned something about Bradley Beal, BB. Washington's not giving him up. I mean, I know that's wishful thinking on your part to say something about mixing Tobias and a couple other people.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I don't think that's actually.
I figured that, but no. And I think what Daryl Morey is doing, along with, and maybe not so much Doc Rivers, but they're waiting. But they're going to wait out Houston because I think we're still going to get him. It might be when's the half season All Star break? Oh, by the way, are they still having?
They're not having an All Star game this year. No,
that's what I. Okay, so they must going to take a break in the middle of the season and get a rest or something and then keep going. Well, let's look by the time they make their Western swing. We'll get a better view as to how they can deal with in the playoffs because if they get the way they are now, the way the Sixers are fashioned now, we could make a deep run. If we get Harden, we need to not only go to the championship round, but we can actually handle whoever ends up there because I don't think even L.A., the way that L.A. is stopped, I don't think it's a lock that they're going to make it. Denver looks good. We still got some of them other teams coming up out there out west. This is going to be interesting. And let's say so. And I want to say one thing before you let me roll. Brooklyn is just getting themselves together. Brooklyn is going to be rough. Boston is going to be rough. Now Milwaukee is going to be rough. Atlanta, is going to be rough.
Yeah,
over
I mean Atlanta. That's I think Booker. I think Atlanta's not ready to make that step yet. They're a nice young team. I think they're a playoff team. They're not gonna be a championship contender.
Let's see what happens. But I want the Sixers to stay healthy.
Uh-huh.
And I like the way that they're doling out. They're dealing with Embiid's minutes because I don't want him playing going too far into 38, 36, 37 minutes a game.
Yeah.
But that's basically all I wanted to say, man.
Well,
and,
there you go, Booker.
Thank you very much. Thank
no
you.
Problem.
And I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. There you go, Booker. Appreciate the call. Embiid played 37 minutes in that game. And, that's the thing. The East is wide open. Like, I don't put much stock into these early season results here. I mean, you have the Sixers are atop the conference, but then you have, like, the Magic and the Pacers and the Knicks. Apparently Austin Rivers is doing well for the Knicks right now, so good for him, but I don't think that's going to keep up. But I'm interested to watch tonight. I think, you know, going to Brooklyn, taking on that team, this is a great test early in the year. And I get a tweet here from somebody on Twitter who says, you got to be kidding. Giannis is more than capable of being number one option. Yeah, I know that. I didn't say he's not. But once you get to the playoffs, his shooting becomes an issue. Like, we've seen it happen with Ben Simmons. And the difference is Giannis doesn't have another number one to go to. Drew Holiday's a nice player, not a number one. The Sixers have Joel Embiid. And that's the difference when you have a player like that in the postseason. And you look at the East, can the Sixers make a run as they're currently constituted with changes around the periphery? Like, you know, Daryl Morey is going to make certain moves. He is going to do some things to solidify the roster, or does it need to be Simmons for Harden? That's kind of the dilemma, I guess, Sixers find themselves in, and it's what Daryl Morey, I'm sure, will be weighing over the next few weeks here before he ultimately needs to make a decision on the James Harden issue. So I do want to get to this Jerry Jones sound in a second here. But first, Mike, do you want to let's preview the first of the six wildcard games this weekend? We're going to do this each segment for the rest of the show here. And the first game on Saturday, this is maybe the best game of the weekend. I would say I would rank it the second most intriguing game of the weekend. Ooh, we got the music and everything. So I would say this is the second most intriguing matchup this weekend.
I would
behind
agree.
Ravens Titans.
Yes, I would agree with that order too.
Yeah. So you look at Bills Colts here, Mike, and you know we talked briefly the other night, and I had said 6.5. That's a gift with the Bills. I've reevaluated. Maybe I was being a little too enthusiastic. I'm still considering this one, but where do you fall on it right now? What do you see as far as how these teams match up?
Before we get to the predictions, I think this is closer than the line thinks. I still think the Bills probably are the better team, but like, I don't know. The Colts have a really solid roster. I know Rivers is 38, but he's okay. Taylor's been running really, really well lately. Very good defense. Very solid, sound defense. I don't know. Like, if Buffalo can, I guess the Colts, if you're going to beat them, you can beat their corners. Buffalo could do that. I don't know. If they can get to Allen, this could change the game. But I don't know if they're 6.5 points worse.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think if you're going to, you know, bet it with the spread, you got to go Bills -6.5, just the way they've been running through everybody lately. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't bet against them. But, you know, I look at it, I think the Colts are going to play tough. Obviously, we mentioned the Frank Reich revenge factor. He wants to get his old squad.
Wait, what's the revenge for? He had a wonderful career there.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not really a revenge factor. But it's going to be, you know, an interesting test here with the Colts offense against that Bills defense. Sean McDermott, obviously a good defensive mind. I see the Bills winning this game. I would say a tight game. I'll go 27-24 Buffalo. I think in the end, Josh Allen gets it done, but I do gotta say, I can't get, even with how great a season he had, I still can't get like those horrible memories of that disastrous Josh Allen playoff game in Houston completely out of my mind.
What growth in the last calendar year for Josh Allen?
Yeah, definitely. And it's why if the Eagles were going to move forward with Carson Wentz, I would have probably looked to hire Brian Daboll if you were going to fire Doug. It doesn't appear that's the way it's going to go down. But that's probably what I would have done if you were going to go that way. But, you know, this, the one thing that scares me about this is every year on Wild Card Weekend, you have that team that you think, oh, they're rolling into the playoffs. They're a lock to win. Last year it was New Orleans, and they, you know, had that big letdown loss to Minnesota. Do you see any potential of that here, Mike, where Buffalo's this team red hot going in? I don't think Indy's a great matchup for him. Any chance you think Philip Rivers can pull it out and really get on Jolly's nerves?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I think Indy's going to have a lot of threes instead of sixes or sevens. So I don't know. And I don't know if you can beat Buffalo with how explosive they are for that. Like Buffalo, you know, you can beat them for a half, but then they seem to explode on you. Like, and they did it in the Pittsburgh game. They did it a couple of the recent games where it's like a crooked inning. They just have these big quarters.
Yeah, the big inning, as Gabe would say.
The big inning.
Gabe loves watching them play. Gabe was a big inning guy.
Oh, Gabe probably loves the way McDermott's, yeah.
Well, that was the whole thing. That was his excuse when he pinch hit for Kingery in like the first or second inning.
He wanted a grand slam.
Yeah, he was looking for the big inning. Didn't work out, but okay.
No, actually, it did work out.
Okay, whatever. I forget. It's irrelevant. But so what's your prediction, Mike? Bills, Colts?
I'll go Buffalo 30, Colts 15.
Okay. Okay. So you are you going to play the Bills then?
No.
Okay. All right.
It's a weird. I think I want to root for the Colts though.
Okay. Well, there you go. But it'll be a fun day of football. I am hoping the Colts win just for the sake of I'm doing a cross with Jolly that night. Oh, Philip Rivers goes on the
Saturday
road and gets a big playoff win. Man, I'm going to have a fun night. I'll be taking his $5 on that and I'll get to mock him about Philip Rivers. So it'll be fun. So that's our Bills-Colts preview. We'll do Rams-Seahawks when we get back, and also then we'll get to this Jerry Jones sound, which tone deaf doesn't even begin to describe it. That's coming up next. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham on a Thursday morning. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Some of the things we've been discussing so far tonight. We'll get to some more of Howie Roseman's comments. But Howie's kind of defense of his record the other day and his defense for why the Eagles did what they did last offseason. Basically, you know, pandemic forced them to go with older players instead of younger players. I'm not buying. Like, that doesn't pass for me. And this is, I think, a make-or-break year for Howie. Like, I don't think he's going anywhere right now. I don't necessarily think he needs to. The Eagles need to bring in people to the front office, though, to help him. And so far that hasn't happened. Now it's still very early, but will Jeffrey Lurie step up and bring somebody in to take over the lead role in the personnel player evaluation department? Because it needs to happen. So we've been discussing that. Also the Sixers. As we reevaluate the James Harden thing, and we will do this over the next few weeks, as you know, it's the big story and it's out there. And I believe if the Sixers want to do this, they can do this. The Sixers have an asset better than any asset that the Houston Rockets can get from anyone else, and that's Ben Simmons. For now, there's really not a need. This team is playing at a very high level. Would you still do it at this moment? Like, you know, would you do Ben Simmons for James Harden straight up right now? I'm waiting. I'm waiting to see how this plays out. And this is the leverage the Sixers have. And if you remember a few weeks ago, that leak comes out about Ben Simmons potentially being mentioned in trade rooms. There's no doubt in my mind that came from Houston. They know that they want to get this deal done and that the Sixers don't have to do it right now. And do you think that to compete for a title this year, which is what it's all about, it's what this team needs to do. Do you believe that the Philadelphia 76ers need to trade Ben Simmons for James Harden to be a championship contender this year? Or do you believe that Daryl Morey making moves around the periphery, making moves around Embiid and Simmons, and further surrounding them, do you believe that the Philadelphia 76ers can compete doing those kind of things instead of making the blockbuster move of Simmons for Harden. Just some of the things we're discussing tonight. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. But a lot of talk over the last couple days about how disgraceful the Eagles were for what they did on Sunday night. And I would say that's not nearly as disgraceful as what the Cowboys have been doing all season. As we are in the middle of a global pandemic, obviously. I'm not breaking any news to anyone. But I heard this the other day, and this was a radio interview that Jerry Jones was on. I believe the Fan down in Dallas. And you couldn't be more tone deaf than Jerry Jones is. And this thing that he bragged about, have you heard this sound, Mike? You have not heard. All right. Well, you know, the Cowboys had a very unsuccessful season, which has become the norm for them. And they missed the playoffs. They choked at the end. Leslie's boy McCarthy, you know, he really blew that final game against Danny Dimes and Joe Judge. If you can't out-coach Joe Judge in New York for a game to win your win the division potentially, you know, I don't know what to tell you. But McCarthy failed, and the Cowboys failed, as they always do. But Jerry Jones was out this week crowing about one thing that the Cowboys did accomplish this year, and it was unbelievably tone-deaf. Here was Jerry Jones the other day bragging about what the Cowboys were able to accomplish. How is that something that you would want to be bragging about? How does he know it was extremely safe? They had like 25,000 people in their game. I know it's a big place. I've been to a game there before. It's a great place to watch a game. I would absolutely go back for an Eagles-Cowboys game. Matter of fact, I do plan to at some point in my life. But is that something that you would be bragging about, Mike? Is, yeah, in the middle of a pandemic, we set the record for amount of people at a sporting event. That's what we did this year. That's what we have to be proud of this season.
That's a win for him. That's a legitimate
win. It's a win?
No, it is.
We endangered public safety more than anybody else in the country. Anybody else in the world.
His job is to sell the Dallas Cowboys and to sell tickets, and he did. You know.
What about looking out for public health and safety? Like the Eagles.
That's not his lane. I don't know what to tell you.
You don't think there's any kind of personal responsibility? Like Jeffrey Lurie shut down fans coming to the games.
No. Jeffrey Lurie didn't shut that down. The Philadelphia.
Right, but the Eagles had said they wouldn't do it anyway, even if they were being allowed.
It's nice to say once you're banned, even though we're banned, we would have done it anyway.
All right, so you're a Jerry Jones guy. You don't care about public safety. You don't care about any of this stuff. You support Jerry Jones and cramming people in the stadium.
I will reserve the you know, the possibility that there's, like, I don't know that safety thing. It could be, like, BS, but I don't know. Like, there is a lot, like, improvements in contact tracing and stuff like that. That I doubt he has.
Do you think he gives a damn about contact tracing?
No, but I mean, maybe if before he went on this call, somebody handed him a piece of paper that said, "By the way, here's a talking point. We are whatever. Nobody contracted the virus at this game or whatever." I don't know. Like, it could be. I'm giving you the possibility that could be BS.
Okay. All right. Well, I think it's more than a possibility. I think it's probability.
I do think, like, in a pandemic, selling the most tickets is an accomplishment. Like, not everyone could have pulled that off.
I mean, I guess. I think it's irresponsible.
I know it's,
you
know, part of its luck, part of the state that he's in.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't think it's something I'd be out there bragging about. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. I would agree with that.
I don't think it's a great look, but.
Agreed.
So be it. I just don't think it's a great look. Not much to add to it. Without further ado, let's preview Rams Seahawks, our second game. I like just picking it up where it left off from the last one. So Rams Seahawks, this is second game of the Saturday slate. I would say it is the most boring game of the weekend. I have very little interest in this game.
The Bears game is worse than this.
No, I'm actually interested to see how MVP Mitch, as Mike Lombardi calls him, plays against the Saints. And I would love to see the Saints choke again. I hate Sean Payton. What a clown that guy is. Okay. Not a big Sean Payton fan.
We'll get to that game, I guess.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that later. But anyway, Rams Seahawks. So who's starting a quarterback, Mike? Is Goff going to be back, or are they starting this Wofford fella?
I think it's going to be Wofford again. He can't be like Jared Goff was like really struggling before the injury to begin with. Like,
right.
It may just be a reason to just be like, all right, let's just see if we got something going with this guy.
As we mentioned before, terrible year for the two top quarterbacks in 2016, Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. Goff looked good early in the year, but he's really falling apart.
And you can keep going the draft, Dak Prescott.
Oh, yeah. But Dak looks like he could be the best of the bunch when healthy,
yes.
At least. So what's this guy's name? Jim Wofford?
John.
John Wofford, okay. And you were telling me the beginning of story during the you know John Wofford? Have you seen him or
I
something?
I know John Wofford.
I thought that's what you're saying.
No, I've seen him before because he played Temple. For Christmas one year, my girlfriend got me tickets to a Temple bowl game.
Ugh.
And
no offense to your girlfriend, that's kind of a crappy gift.
It was a fun.
Okay.
But Wake Forest played Temple. I thought you would remember this as a Temple fan.
I do not. I'm not a big Temple football guy. I'm a bigger basketball.
It was
guy.
Right after Matt Rhule quit on them.
Oh, that was funny. Because Emily, who used to work here on our promotions team, said Matt Rhule would never quit, and I said he's going to quit immediately, and he quit the next day. So I've rubbed that in her face every time I can.
Okay. But yeah, he came in, they got up to this like 31-7 start, and then he like hurt his hand, and Temple came back, but they came up short. It was with PJ Walker. Like, it was a memorable game, I think.
All right.
I guess you don't.
All right, so you look at Rams Seahawks here, and let's get in the nuts and bolts here, Mike. The Seahawks have not been as good offensively lately. They're a tough team to trust. Their defense has kind of solidified itself. This has the classic feeling of a game where Seahawks let them hang around for a while. It's going to be lower scoring than you expect. But in the end, Russell Wilson probably comes down and wins Seahawks the game late. I'm going to go 24-20 Hawks here, but I would not bet it either way, honestly.
I don't know if they get 24 on the Rams. I'll go 17-10.
Their offense has not played well at all recently.
No, I mean, remember, like, people thought Russell Wilson was MVP?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
This happens to Russell Wilson, like, every year, where he looks like the MVP for, like, 10 to 12 games, and then their offense just goes down the tubes. But, I think in the end the Seahawks win, but I think this is going to be a boring game. This is the game I'm least interested in.
It's a divisional game. They're two pretty evenly matched teams when the quarterbacks are healthy.
Like, I guess I just don't think either team's really that good, you know? That's kind of where I'm at with it.
But neither one will probably win the Super Bowl. I'll agree with that.
Yeah. All right, well, that's our Rams-Seahawks. We'll get to Bucks-Washington football team coming up next. And also, I got to get to the controversy of Nate Sudfeld here. As different Eagles players reporting different things on this. We have Brandon Graham on the morning show saying one thing. We have Miles Sanders on the midday show saying another thing. Jason Kelsey releases a statement. We'll dive into all that next. That's coming up. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy, Sports Radio 94 WYP.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.